You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Got a little bonus episode for you here on a Friday afternoon. Last year, I told you that once, twice a year, we'll try to give you updates on Hard AF Seltzer, give our complete honesty and all the fuckery we've gone through and the knowledge to you guys in case you want to do this or run a business in the future and give you updates on it. Because a lot of times you're sitting at home, you're watching a friend or somebody you follow, you're watching their product blow up and you want to know, is that real? Is it as big as everybody says it is? They look like they're having a blast. Is it that much fun? Everything else. And I'm here to give you the honest truth about it because we want you guys at home to have successful businesses. I know there's a lot of people who are thinking about starting a business, thinking about starting a company and everything that goes into it. However, most people on Instagram, where they stick the fucking camera in front of their face or the phone, aren't telling you the truth and everything is great, or oh, don't be afraid to be you and just feel free to be grumpy today or whatever it is. No, you're going to be pissed off every single day about it. But a few months ago, we were in North Carolina. Hard AF Seltzer is being served at brunches all over Wilmington, North Carolina here. Yes. Danny McPherson is the owner. He was on the show last time. He's currently looking at expanding across the United States brunches.
Yep.
He's in town, and I asked him to be on the show here today. Danny, thanks for coming in, man.
God, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
First time to Austin.
Is it really?
You know, I kind of feel not that intelligent. I didn't realize how big Austin was.
Ah, it's weird, isn't it?
I thought it was a small town in Texas.
No, it's getting bigger. It used to be. It used to be
top 10 city in the country.
I know. It used to be a Jason Aldean song. It's not anymore.
It's just,
they're about to drive a highway through this goddamn thing here.
And, hey, bigger is better. Year. It's Texas.
It's not. It's not. Come on. Dude. It's not. I'm telling you, it's not. Like, why we moved here in the first place was obviously the podcast.
Of course.
We split guests with Rogan and all those other guys and advertisers and all that stuff. And then the booze itself. Being made in Texas, our demographic on the podcast is a lot of people from Texas. And if you're here, then it's like, all right, great. Everybody can enjoy in it and all that other stuff. We're finally in the HEBs and Total Wines and all that stuff. The fridge is all stocked up for it. And that way, yeah, everybody who's visiting can come in and have it. But we didn't have it here for a long time. So we're almost on year two now. It'll be March 31st will be year two.
But it's all been clear skies.
Officially of Hard AF Seltzer.
Oh, yeah. But no challenges.
Nothing.
Right? You just thought of it one day.
Nothing, dude.
And then it came. It was in a can the next day.
No. I went to the hospital.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's the real story.
That was a real story. I think people know this from the last show, but we were doing the media company. We had just made the move over here, bought our own buildings, all that other stuff, and going through some stressful times. Wasn't sleeping a lot.
Yep.
I have been in the hospital before for pneumonia. I had that, and then got COVID on top of it, and then boom, I'm out for 45 days and in a coma and all that stuff.
Jeez.
So we had to push back the launch, actually.
Yeah.
I think 4 or 5 months, because we're doing it live on air, and we're supposed to do live shows and everything else. It was a fucking nightmare. You finally get to it,
yep.
And then you're like, all right, great. I'll hold up these cans, because everybody who's in the studio, we give out free cases of booze to take home with you. These were the fucked up cans right here. 80,000 of them.
So you finally get to the dream.
Yep.
And then they hand you what the dream was.
80,000.
80,000 of
them. Cans are incorrect, and the heart is above the lip here. And then as you can see in the real can, it is not supposed to be. It's exactly where it's supposed to be. Boo bang right there. And I said, hey, is, you know, what do you do in a situation like this? And they were like, well, we usually just take a fucking steamroller over these goddamn things, and that's it, for real. And then they trash them and get rid of them. And I said, well, is the booze still good? And they go, well, yeah. And I go, great, then I want them. Okay? You're going to ship them to my goddamn office. And I think there's only, I don't know, 30 cases left or whatever it is out of the 80,000.
I'm sure as a business owner, that was an easy call. They just called you and said, hey,
no,
our fault, my bad, here's your money back.
Nope. That was,
that's not how that goes.
It was a lawyer involved, and that was a lawsuit and everything else. Also went live on air and was happy to show, the owner with a picture of Harvey Weinstein. We found Dan's in Homeland Security. So he finds all kinds of shit. So like,
he's a sneaky bastard.
And then I said, look, I'm going to go back on air. If that was a fun thing, if you want to get involved in that. And they were like, nah, we're good, dog. We'll just write you that check. But that's some of the trials and tribulations you go as you go through a business. Now, I'm going to ask you about yours in a second here. I'll tell the audience where Hard AF Seltzer is currently. We're sitting right at about 1,300 locations.
Amazing.
It sounds amazing, right? Where you're like, holy shit, this is awesome. And Jared was just here for the Sunday night show that we pre-record, and Black Rifle Coffee is in 28,000 locations. So you're like,
you're on your way.
Got a ways to go.
There's always someone better looking, a little more money in the pocket, and a few more stores.
Though. Totally. But Jared and Evan and those guys are all in on their investors in Hard AF Seltzer and stuff. So like they understand it, and I think it's beneficial that they're in as well, because it's one of those things where they know that it's going to take a while, so they're not hitting you up every week. Whereas some investors will call you every week and a half and be like, hey, so how's it going? Are we close to a fail? And it's just like, no, man, we're not even 2 years old. Like, it's
a little patience.
A little patience, you know? It's usually 5 to 7 on a if you have proper marketing and all that stuff. But you go through it and you learn. Our first flavors they're sitting on the desk right here. Delka, the program thing is in the way there for me personally. Is the strawberry shortcake up here? Yeah. Okay. So the cans in front of me that you see, we did lemon, lime, and strawberry shortcake in the first run there.
Okay.
And this will lead into what you're doing later here in a sec. But so here's what we learned from this. Peach crush, blue raspberry crush. Flavor-wise, across the board, everything tasted great. And so that's important. We spent a lot of time on that, and you have to. Because once your product goes out to market, that's it. Nobody's going back if they don't like it whatsoever.
Correct.
Now, luckily, they like the flavors. However, what we noticed as we started doing live shows and parties and all that stuff, and you start getting people's reactions, was lemon lime, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's a fucking White Claw or any lime and lime drink on the planet, a Sprite, someone will grab a Coca-Cola before a Sprite. Someone will grab... Lemon lime's always the last to go. It's like a bottle of tequila at a party where you're just like, all right, fucking 3 a.m., dude. What bottle's left?
The tequila?
Ugh, I guess, man. And not that there was anything wrong with it, but you don't want people to have a variety pack and then just have a shit ton of lemon lime left over. So I was like, all right, we'll swap that out. Now, on that, we'd gotten some bad advice.
Okay.
A distributor, I'm not going to say which one, was like, you've got to have a lemon lime in your portfolio. Like, we'll take your products. So you've got a lemon lime in it. And I was like, I don't really drink lemon lime. Not a lot of people drink lemon lime. And we were right. At the end of the day, the guy was fucking wrong. We swapped it out, right?
Okay.
It's a great lemon lime. Don't get me wrong. It's just...
a lemon lime.
Yes. It's just a plain flavor. Strawberry shortcake was a little different. Now, strawberry shortcake is the most unique flavor I've ever had from any beverage ever. And our guys down at Tactical Brewing down there in Orlando, who are selling Hard AF Seltzer, helped us come up with the flavors and the formulas and all that stuff, and their partners in the company. When we had made this, it tastes exactly like a strawberry shortcake. Now, when we took it out to the market, women were leaving it because they saw a picture of a cake and they thought, without even reading the caloric chart on the back here, which is the calories and all that stuff, that it was sugary. It felt like they were getting fat or going to be fat, even though there was no carbs and sugars in it.
Yeah.
And it was completely psychological.
Completely. That's wild.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
So we knew it. We took their advice, and then we moved on from that. And then we swapped it out with pina colada, and watermelon. So those are the new batch that you have right there.
Oh, man.
It's amazing, right?
It's amazing.
It's one of the best seltzers I've ever had in my entire life.
Agreed.
So this is a good four-pack to go. We've got, let's see, we tasted a green apple. We want to do a line of teas. We've tasted teas before and all that other stuff. Yeah. But first, you got to succeed at one before you launch a new line, obviously. So,
of course.
We're going hard with this. Along the way, though, we've switched, you know, flavor houses. We've switched co-packers, all of it. Yeah. Cardboard boxes. Somebody fucked up the cardboard boxes on this run. And it's hard.
It's hard.
The other hard part about
it's hard
too.
AF.
Yes, yeah. It's hard. AF. Running a business is hard as fuck.
Yeah.
But the other part too is as you go, you know, you go along in this, you meet people along the way where you're like, oh, hey, I'll promise you this and it'll be rad. And you're like, oh, and then it doesn't happen. Then you get distributors because there's a different distributor for every state. Yep. And you want to get the biggest one, right? Where you're like, oh, I know that company. They're awesome. They won't work for a smaller brand. You've got to have a sales rep in that state. They do nothing. Wow. So, yeah. My favorite one, though, to date, and I'm happy to shout them out, is Crown. Georgia Crown and Alabama Crown down there. It's the same company, and they're in two different states. Those guys fucking rock and crush it on every level, but everybody else is needs help.
Yeah.
And you don't know that going in, and you're like, all right, great, so I've got to hire a sales rep to help you do your fucking job that you're getting 30% for? Because they get 30%.
Damn.
I know.
Yeah, you go
through
the hard work.
Just for dropping it off.
Yep.
That's all they do is deliver it to a store. And they just drop it off on the stoop or whatever the fuck it is. And then they move on. 30% for that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they got to mark it up 30%.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, cool, man. The product that cost me, you know, $14 or $15 to make, then they're going to jack it up and take their cut, and somebody else is going to jack it up and take their cut. And then the legal fees. Nobody tells you about the legal fees.
Damn attorneys.
You and I were going to dinner last night, and I told you. I go, hey, man, you're going to have to call for this, yeah. this. To open up every state is roughly somewhere from $5,000 to $10,000, just in licenses, yep. Legal fees, all that other stuff. We got a great liquor lawyer, Rachel, out of Nashville. So she's awesome and she can do it. But know going in that opening up all these states, very, very costly as well.
Yep.
And it's tough. Then you also need bar owners like yourself to pick up big orders. And that will also help out as well. You were kind enough to order it at all your brunches in Wilmington down
huge
there.
Hit. Huge hit.
How many stores do you have open there?
In Wilmington, North Carolina, we have three. We just went out of this state. We've got one in Richmond, Virginia now. We've got two in the Raleigh area that'll be opening up here in the next 60 days.
Damn, dude.
So those are all underway. And then we're negotiating about another half dozen to a dozen that we're hoping by the end of this year either open or on their way to open.
And that's why you're here, is you were scouting out locations in Austin and all that stuff.
You know, the growth, the two big states we've got kind of pinned right now are Florida and Texas.
Okay.
So I was in Houston just a few days ago.
Yeesh. Did you go to Bucks?
I did.
Bucks Strip Club?
No, Buckeyes. Or Buckeyes. No.
Yeah, Buckeyes. Everybody goes to Buckeyes.
Gotta go to Buckeyes. No, the wife was on that trip, so... so it's everything's bigger in Texas, right?
Uh-huh.
So from, you know, wanting to get the restaurant set up, wanting to do a few other vertical products along with the restaurant.
Yep.
We're really eyeballing Texas and Florida.
So I told you last night, I think starting with Florida smarts, we did. That was our first state that we opened as well. Simply because they party all year round. So the weather's great.
It is.
And people are boozing no matter what. And there's so many people going on vacation there. People are from Canada during the wintertime and all that stuff, where I feel probably of all 50 states, that's the one where there's no dry January or bullshit like that, where like everybody's boozing all 12 months.
That's right.
Whereas in the rest of the states, they'll tell you in the booze market in particular, like, look, January, February, and March are dead towards the end of March when it gets warmer. Then all the way through the end of the year, it's booze
it's game
season.
On. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Game on.
But you kind of prepare for spring
yeah.
And that launch and all that stuff. So I think Florida is very smart. Do you want to tell the audience what kind of products you're making?
Well, so obviously the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So brunches. I own some nightclubs and other restaurants at a time. And in my 30s.
In Wrightsville Beach, right?
In Wrightsville Beach. Yeah. And in my 30s, that was a lot of fun. Now being 43, you know, 2 a.m. isn't a lot of fun running a business. So the concept we came up with was, how do we have a party during the day? And that's really what brunches, the restaurant, is. So we've got great food, but at 12 noon on a Saturday or Sunday, we're partying at the bar like, you know, in our 30s or 20s, yeah, we were at 12 midnight. So champagne sales are ridiculous.
Yep.
So we want to find a way to, you know, if you can't make it into the store, how can you enjoy the mimosas outside the store,
mm-hmm,
or while you're traveling? So came up about 3 or 6 months ago with the concept of putting together some RTDs, much like your Hard AF.
Yep.
And how do we package those, right? Or how do we even create the flavors, mm-hmm, right? Because it's not as simple as, hell, throw some champagne and orange juice in a can and let's have some fun,
yeah,
right? Which is your initial thought, right? Let me just put champagne and orange juice in a can and we're ready to party.
We're good.
It's going to be easy.
Yeah. You know?
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to put a mimosa in a can and we're going to sell it. And next week we'll have cans ready. Yeah, that's what everyone thinks the dream is, right?
Yes.
Same with opening a restaurant. Oh, just, you know, buy a restaurant, open it, and it's busy. God damn, that'd be brutal, beautiful, dude.
If
that was the way it worked.
Watching, what's the bar show with
John Tapper?
Yeah, God, dude. Watching that made me never want to even attempt that my entire life.
It, you
got
hilarious
to meet Jared earlier. Yeah. His dream is always been like, let's open up drinking bars, or Drinking Bros bars and restaurants like Twin Peaks. And I was like, bro, do you know the lawsuits and everything that goes into shit like that and food and regulations? And I was like, you don't have time for that. We don't have time to open up restaurants all over the fucking place. Because, but wouldn't it be awesome to go, yes, it would. But now we sound like everybody else sitting at home going, yeah, I want to open up a restaurant.
Everybody wants to own a restaurant.
Yes.
Until they own a restaurant.
It's like a boat.
It's like a boat.
It's like a fucking boat.
Right?
Yeah.
Why pay $121,000 for the boat when, exactly, you can go rent it on the lake for $700 or $800?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So did you succeed with the initial one with brunches?
We opened brunches in December of 2019.
Okay.
In March of 2020, about 90 days later, our governor in North Carolina shut down restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bitch, but we succeeded.
I might have been one of your first customers then. And actually, Jared was too.
Yeah.
We were drinking it because your mimosas were like goblets.
It's impressive.
Huge. It's amazing.
We don't do flutes.
These are like Game of Thrones goblets,
yes,
there. And you go, because you see the fun drinks online and everybody on Yelp. If you go and look up brunches on Yelp and all that stuff, it's a lot of the mimosa poses and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The food is fucking lights out. And so Jared and I would get trashed and go there. But then the governor shut down the state and that was it.
Like, that was that.
Boom. Yeah.
Boom.
Done. So
we had 90 days just out of the gates, busy, wildly successful. We're going to have 50 of these in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
In the first 90 days, I had over a dozen people approach me. How do I buy in? How do I get the franchise rights here? I mean, it was gangbusters for 90 days.
Yep.
And then boom, not only the governor of North Carolina, but I'm pretty sure all the way up, they came out and said the most dangerous things you can do in your life right now. And on that top five list, one of the most dangerous things you could do for your health was go to eat at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. So did you go plastic outside on the street and all that shit? Like, how did that work out? Because what I couldn't figure out during all of it, who was the governor there at that time? It was
Cooper.
It was Cooper. Yeah.
Yeah, still is.
So that's right. That fucking guy, dude. But with him, once they did it, I was like, how are all these people going to stay in business? And a lot of them didn't.
A lot of them didn't.
How did you?
I don't know. Maybe similar to how, you know, when you do Hard AF, you just kind of black out for a while.
Yeah.
There's so much shit you have to deal with.
Yeah.
The joys and the pleasures of being a business owner. During that time, you were making, you know, I would say a normal day as a business owner, I got to make two or three hard decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I was making, you know, two or three dozen decisions a day of,
yeah,
how do we do payroll? You know,
all of it. I'm going to text Bob a photo from last night, by the way, that,
right,
he can, like, pop up on screen.
But how do you do it?
Yes.
Like, I don't, you know, and I think I just kind of blacked out in all honesty. We did everything we could. I mean, every day we showed up asking the same question of, how do we sell food to our customers when they've been told the most dangerous thing you can do is eat at a restaurant? Now, I will say this, which is why I've stayed in this business. Our customers were resilient. One thing that COVID did prove to me is that above all else, people want to go out,
mm-hmm,
right? They want to go out. And we found a way through setting up tables on sidewalks and in parking lots. And Cooper did a couple good things. He let us do, you know, to-go alcohol, things along those lines.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So now they They pulled it back afterwards. Don't understand, but they did help us a little bit.
Oh, they kept it here, I think.
Most states kept it.
Yeah.
Most states did. North Carolina.
Texas still has it.
Yeah. It's in North Carolina's legislation now to roll it back, but they took it away in North Carolina. Again, we do things a little differently there. But it was every day. It was, how do we produce some sales so we can pay our vendors?
Mm-hmm.
We can pay our employees. And oh, by the way, I have a mortgage and, you know, kids myself to take care of as well. So it was a dogfight. I mean, for 90 days, it was a dogfight. I enjoyed it so much that I opened my second brunches during the shutdown.
No way.
Because I'd already signed a lease. I'd already committed to it. I'd already built a rehab. So I had our second brunches was supposed to open 92 days after the first one.
So let me ask you this. Were the owners at least forgiving and kind of like what the situation was going on in the world? Or were they like, hey, I need the first fucking check?
You know, they got bills to pay too. So it was just real honest, hard conversations, right? No one said, oh, hey, don't worry about it, buddy. You pay us rent when you need to pay us rent. Cause they got mortgages that they had to pay on their properties as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, it was a dogfight. It was, you know, hey, I can pay you this much this month. I can pay you this much this month. But I will tell you this, every single one of those folks got 100% of their money. There was no, we'll just forgive it or anything else.
Sure.
Did they, you know, let us kind of slip a little bit here and there? Of course. But once business came back, repayment went out real quick.
We had a fucking company in the last year who just forgot to send the invoices.
Yeah.
So we thought we were paid up with this one company, and then we get this bill for $89,000. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? You know? And I'm here because I host the show, and then Delco is usually editing. I'm here. I'll check social media first, invoices, lawyers, bullshit, all that shit from here. Literally right in this desk, right? Yeah. And I look at this fucking invoice, and I'm like, what? What? And I call, and I'm like, yo, what the fuck? And he goes, oh, yeah, I forgot to send that. He's like, it's due. And I was like, we have another batch to do right now. And he goes, I know, but my boss is saying you got to pay this before you can do that. And I'm like, I don't have $89,000 just laying around right now. So I'm going to – we got a fucking problem here, and you got to get your boss on the phone, you know? We had to do payment plans and, you know, other bullshit to keep the things going. Because if it stops, and I'm sure it's the same way with brunches, if it closes, people think it's closed. And
it's
they might not come back.
They're not coming back.
No.
There's some, you know, this is an amazing seltzer.
Oh, thank you very much.
Amazing. But there are a couple other out there.
Yeah. Just a few.
Brunches is an amazing restaurant.
Maybe two or three.
You know? We do a great job. But guess what? There's a few other brunch places out there.
Yeah.
And people have that. You know, once you go by two or three times and you're not open.
I know.
They're moving on.
Same with podcasts, by the way. If we were, because we're on daily, if we started missing days, there's plenty of other, there's 950,000 other podcasts, literally, to listen to, and you know that. And it's just like, all right, great. We'll be on every single day. I also enjoy doing it, so I don't care. But
the consistency.
But you also know, consistency is the key for all of it. For not everything. Only business, but life itself and whatever you want to be good at in this life. So 300%. you got the two open then.
So we got the two open, fought just a dogfight through. We kind of knew the whole time we had to find our way to spring of 2021 because we knew we'd find a way to get through the summer and all that because everyone was still coming down the beach because people wanted to live. But we knew the winter was going to be tough. So it was a dogfight all the way through. Spring of 2021 hit and everyone kind of opened back up. That's when maybe the masks aren't real and so on and so forth. And 2021, just gangbusters. Opened up the third store right after that, then started with the Richmond expansion and started with our expansion into the Raleigh area as well. Signed the lease in Raleigh in 2021.
Okay.
It's 2024. It hasn't opened yet.
Holy shit. Why not?
We're still paying rent.
So you paid rent for 3 years and it's not open?
It's not open yet.
Is that on you or?
That's on me.
Okay. And why is that?
Well, the rent's on me.
Yeah, you know, I know the rent's on you.
Because, you know, when you own businesses, you have to go through attorneys.
Yep.
You have to go through permitting. With restaurants, you have localities that you have to please.
Yep.
You have contractors that have to come in and do work. So you put together this beautiful timeline that you think is going to work great. Oh, yeah, 9 months is plenty of time. We'll be able to get our permits. We'll be able to get the contractors in. It's going to look beautiful. That'll give some time to train. Yeah, we thought that in 2021 for our Raleigh store.
Holy shit.
So,
and it's still not open today?
Still not open today.
God damn.
The sign's up on it. Looks beautiful. Looks beautiful. I mean, equipment's in there.
Coming soon.
Coming
really soon. It'll be there. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Dude.
So that's the fun of running a business, though, right? So,
yeah.
It's, you know, everyone thinks it's just turn on that open sign and boom, there it is. Start the podcast, and there's your first million, you know, listeners and viewers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a dogfight. It's a dogfight every day.
Well, let me ask you this. How did you get the funding? Because with us, and I'm the reason why we do this show, by the way, once a year and check in, or a couple times a year, whatever it is just to be honest with you guys, because you're going through the same thing. Everybody wants to start their own company, and I get it. Like, you should. It's the American dream, and it's awesome, because at the end of the day, you're answering to you.
Yep.
You know, occasionally other people will fuck up everything, but that's you know.
That's your responsibility.
Right. Yep. It is. Yep. And you have to know that. With funding, though, I mean, shit, dude, it was Dan and I, some friends came in afterwards and things like that. I'm stuck in these conversations every day. I would say that's my personal biggest weakness.
Yeah.
Because when I was in Hollywood, I was raising money for movies, and, the first one was very hard. It took me 4.5 years,
yep.
144 meetings, 4.5 years to get the first movie made. And then after that, boom, I was able to make, I don't know, 12 or 13 more, whatever it was.
Of course.
And a couple TV shows and all that stuff, and I was able to find more funding. Booze company is a little different, obviously, and it's not my world. However, this Hard AF Seltzer can is the same as a DVD for me. Okay. So it's still a hard good.
Yep.
That I used to sell to Best Buy, or let's take FDR American Badass, for example, right?
Okay.
I sold 25,000 of those to Best Buy, and I sold another 10,000 to Walmart DVDs, right?
Wow.
But it's the same thing. You have artwork, you know, that goes around the can, aka the DVD. You have the product inside. You try to offer them something different or fun or flashy, and then it goes out the door. Once that sale is made, it's done. So if the box of DVDs are handed off, or a case of Hard AF Seltzer is handed off, I'm all good, and I can go on from there. The problem I've had with the funding-wise is projections,
yes.
Where they're like, well, how many is it going to go? We've beat every projection there is. However, I don't want to give an investor a number that I know I can't achieve, and then at the end of the day, they're fucking angry at me or calling and screaming and all that other stuff. How did you get the funding for brunches, and how are you continuing to do it?
Well, so the first one was a dogfight, right? Much in the same way. I found 5 locations in the Wilmington area mm-hmm. that would be perfect for brunches. I sent a handwritten note to those 5. None of them were for sale. These were 5 locations. I went out and scouted. Could kind of see that, you know, business was a little slow, but none of them were listed for sale. Found the owners, found their home addresses, wrote a handwritten letter and said, you know, hey, I mean no disrespect, but if you're ever interested in selling, I'd love to talk to you. Mailed them out. Actually, no, I overnighted them.
Oh, shit. Make
sure, yeah, overnighted.
So they had to sign for them?
So they had to sign, you know, FedEx right there. Like, they're thinking I got an important package.
Yeah.
And they got a letter from a, you know, a schmuck is what they got. And one of those 5 people called me the next day and said, yeah, let's talk. And so I met with them. And, you know, I strategically looked at these places saying, okay, they're pretty damn close to being what I need for brunches. Met with him. He was ready to get on. He had other, you know, ventures he wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
And said, okay. And I said, well, great. I'll buy the business from you. 100 grand. I did not have 100 grand.
No shit.
No.
Did you give a timeline?
Said, I'll buy it from you for 100 grand. He said, okay, that's great. And I said, all right, but I'm not going to pay you. I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'll get you $20,000, and then we'll finance it over 4 years.
Okay.
And so I'll pay you with some interest on top of that. And then I had pictures. I had my staff go in and do the renovation works that we had to build a bar. The place didn't have a bar. And we had to do some cosmetic things on those lines. General contractor. Yeah, I can do that for you. It'd be about 100 grand. I don't have 100 grand.
Yeah.
Right. So made a deal, had our guys go in there. Of course, all the, you know, licensed work that needed to be done by licensed professionals. Of course we hired them, but all the other stuff we did ourselves, and it was blood, sweat, and tears. And we got the whole thing open for a little under $50,000. I didn't have $50,000. Friends, family, mm-hmm. I had to go and raise $50,000.
Yeah.
And then I had to hope like hell that we did enough in sales that I could pay them back. And so we had to do projections. I had an old gentleman I used to work with, and he called those financial projections mental masturbation. He said, you can have as much fun as you want with this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Here's how we're going to blow it up. Here's how good I am.
Yeah.
And then you got to stand by him. And so he always warned me about that. He said, you know, you can say you're going to have 300 customers here in a day, but, you know, it's going to rain one day and it's going to snow another day mm-hmm. and so on. And, you know, he didn't tell me COVID was going to hit one day, but, you know.
Yeah.
And so I had to put projections together, and I had to reach out to friends, family, and other people I knew to say, hey, you know, will you will you take a risk on me?
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And the majority of them said no.
Your friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Majority of them said, I'm good.
I've said no to friends. Yeah. You know?
And one thing you have to have, in my opinion, if you want to own any business, is you have to have the ability to fail and get rejected and then believe in it so much that you go back and say, you know what? I'm going to prove you wrong.
Right.
And that's all it was. And then we got the yeses. Then the product comes out, right? And then someone tastes it. And then someone says, oh, shit, right? Someone comes and eats at our restaurant mm-hmm. and says, wow, this is a pretty cool experience. Are you doing this again? And then it gets a little bit easier.
You're right.
So funding is still banks. You know, everyone says, oh, I'll just go get a loan.
It didn't work like that either.
Well, that either. Banks only lend you money if they know that you're going to pay them back. Mm-hmm. So when you go to a bank and say, I have a new idea, yeah, they say, okay, well, good luck with that. when you say, I have cash flow and I'm already successful, then they'll talk to you. But when you're in the infancy stages and the startup, banks don't want to give you a penny.
I know. I sat in those fucking meetings, dude. And
it's a waste of time.
It is. All of it was
independently wealthy. Nobody then go to a bank.
Correct. Yeah. And then nobody, because nobody, no bank,
no.
was like, okay, great. Show me sales. Show me this. Show me all this other stuff. And you're like, wow, it's coming. It's coming.
And you're I like, got these projections right here.
Exactly. And then after our first year, you know, we finally had something, and yeah. And I was like, all right. Then I was able to take that to people. Like, oh shit. All right.
Yep.
This is a real thing. And then you think, all right, well, great. Some money's coming in here and there. I mean, shit, we've even chatted with listeners, yeah. you name it, anybody who could
write
potentially
yeah.
write help or whatever yeah. and believed in us. But then once you have it, and then you're like, all right, great, I got some money, and then I'm going to make some more stuff, and you start opening up other states,
yeah.
which is, I'm sure, what you're going yeah. through as well.
Yep.
Then they're like, great, can you sustain this? Because if you sell out... we're going to blacklist you. You know, we're not going to have you anymore. And it's like, well, shit, can I keep this many cans? And then you're ordering more and more and yeah. more. And like, I don't know about you salary wise, but because Dan and I never taken a salary, no nothing out of this.
No. I mean, I take a small draw salary mm-hmm. just for tax purposes to be an S Corp. But no, I'm the last one paid.
Yeah, same. And both of these businesses, the media company and the yep. The seltzer. So
employees always get paid first.
Correct.
Vendors get paid yep. first. And if there's anything left at the end of the day, then the business owner usually gets paid.
And sometimes you skip months.
And sometimes I went 6 months. And last year, 2023, went six months.
Six would be rough.
Yeah.
I think we went 3.5 last year, heading into part of this.
Yeah. No, we were doing some
sponsor,
expansion.
I won't say what it is, but...
No, as we opened up
at the end of the month,
as we opened up Richmond, and then we had still expenses because the one in Raleigh that's taken 21 to 24 has been a bitch, but I loved it so much I committed to a second store. So that one, we've only been in it for about 8 months.
Okay,
but they'll open about the same time now. So as we were doing all this expansion, any profit that there was, we were plowing it right back into the business. So yeah, it was tough. It is tough.
Yeah, it still continues
it's
to be tough.
It's still tough,
because
right?
if you want to grow and make the money and, fly private, because
yeah.
let's face it, at the end of the day, that's why we're all doing this. It's just to not fly commercial anymore, because it fucking sucks.
A G5 is it's a long-term plan.
That's the one where I will genuinely say, I made it. Congratulations.
Everyone has their vices. Some people love cars, beach houses, boats. I'm not one of those people. But the jet would be nice one day.
I just don't want to stand with those dirty fucks anymore and people coughing on me and shit.
You know, for me, it's not even that. It's just the time. For me, yes. It's just the time.
The TSA and the lateness and the cancellation. Right?
It's just
and
like
all
tonight.
Shit.
I gotta leave, 2 hours early from here because I don't know how long, it's going to be to get through all that. Versus, I've flown private a few times on the private jets with some other people who,
Epstein.
And it's just different when you pull up to your car and 5 minutes later your wheel's up. It's just a different experience.
It is. And hopefully you can, get there permanently one day and it's great. But back to not really enjoying all this or kind of get stuck in it. You and I go out for dinner last night because I'm like, hey, I'll hit you up. So yesterday recorded, I think, 3 shows and then had kids basketball practice.
There you go.
Did that. Had 4 lawyer conversations because they're about to turn this into a goddamn highway over here.
There you go.
We've got a fun lawsuit with Hard AF, which is going away. It was some mistaken bullshit over a trademark issue, whatever.
Yep.
Had to go meet with, what do they call those rubber stamper people?
Notary.
Notary. God damn it, dude. finding those losers. God, the loser that did this, dude. The loser with the rubber stamp who took the class or got whatever. He just comes in with a fucking guitar slung over, dirty as shit. And I'm like, you're the notary? It's this, you know, oh, it's this King's Royal stamping of this form. That means nothing. And I'm like,
nothing.
I got to wait around for this dick for a $10 rubber stamp. And then I'm out of there. And I'm like, you fucker.
Now your word is bond because right. He stamped it.
I go and meet with you last night. Yeah. And then I said, hey, before we're coming on the show today, I'm going to take you to HEB.
Yeah.
I've been to, you know, because of traveling and live shows and all that other stuff, I've been to every grocery store on the planet and, you know, every venue, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I told you, because you're about to start your own drink, I go, look, let's go to HEB. We'll get some samples of all the shit because they've got the best selection. HEB literally is the best grocery store in America.
Yeah. Beat Kroger.
It's not even close.
It's amazing.
And so we go in. I've had this fucking crazy day. I'm exhausted. All this other shit. We're buying products for today's show and everything else. We walk in, and then, Bob, you can post the picture now. I did not know. I don't know if you thought this was a flex last night, but it wasn't. I didn't know.
It felt like a flex.
I know, but it wasn't.
And it was an amazing flex.
Pop this picture up, Bob, for the audience of what I just sent you there.
Because the best thing you can get as a product
and placements in front of Bud Lights in the biggest grocery stores in Texas. And I'm like, fucking
A,
dude.
That was a flex.
And I there was a moment where, like, on the drive home, because when you got your Uber, I was like, dude, I bet you he thinks I took him there on purpose. Totally not. And they didn't tell me, because I, you know, I'll get, I don't know, 100 emails a day or whatever the fuck it is, 200. And they didn't tell, like, it was in the email. I didn't read it. I didn't read it. And so I walked in, and I was just as shocked as you. Yeah. And then I fanned out, and I was like, oh, fuck, can I take a picture? I'm going to take a picture for the show.
But that's what makes it all worth it.
Yes.
The and lawyers.
To the circle notary. Back to that, because I had the same conversation with the lawyer this morning. He goes, hey, did you get the notary fucking thing so I can – you have to send it first class to the lawyers and all this other stuff. And I go, I did. Yeah. And I sent him this picture along with it. Yeah. And he goes, holy shit. Yeah. It's out in Texas? And I was like, yeah, it's out in Texas. And he goes, God damn.
Not just out.
Out, but, you know.
In cap.
Yes. And he goes – and I go, look – with all the fucked up shit we're going through with all this stuff and raising money and all these weird people and that you're involved in and everything else and lawsuits and all this stuff, I go, here's where your hard work went for the last 3 years.
Yep.
And he was like, oh my God, dude, I can't believe it. So he's like, I'm going to buy a, you know, 12-pack on the way home. I can't fucking believe it. And I was like, so with all the fucked up conversations we've had in the last few days, there's one positive picture there.
Positive.
Yeah. But I wanted to do this live on air because it dawned on me when I left. I was like, I guarantee you,
it was the ultimate flex.
Taking him in there. I was not. I didn't even know. I had no idea.
But that's what my point of what I'm trying to do next, and for anybody else out there who thinks this is easy, that's what I want. I want to know, how did you get to that flex?
Right.
Because everyone just sees hard AF at the sports bar.
Correct.
At the college campus. Oh, you got an end cap. Wow, that's easy.
In the Major League Baseball or the soccer stadiums or the NBA stadiums and all that
amazing.
Stuff.
Amazing. 1,300 stores.
Yes.
And I'm fighting to get into one,
right?
I want to see that flex.
Super tough. And again, they don't, you know, you got a million emails, so I didn't know this was going to happen. But even this, pop up that picture one more time, Bob. Even this, like, the price is $20.57. Like,
that's solid.
It's not great. But if you go to Total Wines, I think it's at, like, you know, $17.99 or whatever it is. It's 8%.
Yeah.
The inflation.
A 12 pack is like a 24 pack of your competitors. Let's be honest.
But still, that's high for what we're selling them to. So, like, is it inflation? Who's also doing that number and everything else?
Very
true. Then you've got to reconcile with that with the audience too, where you're just like, hey, dude, that's not us.
Yeah.
Like, we're selling way cheaper than that. What they're marketing it up to, that we can't stop it at that point.
Nah.
And then you'll have to deal with that as well for your product.
Yep.
But
that's where your marketing background,
correct,
like, makes a huge difference.
And by the way, so that's what I want to tell you, Will, for you as well.
Yeah.
So with Hard AF, how do we get to 1,300 locations? An excellent question. Marketing from the podcast.
Yeah.
So the podcasts have been great. Our listeners are amazing. The fan base is amazing. Everybody will go to the stores, buy the cases, because it really does help support the show and keep all this going.
Yeah.
For real. And then hopefully this is the home run at the end of it, because I have no desire to quit podcasting, even if we sell the seltzer one day.
Yeah.
Zero desire. I love what I do every day. I want to keep doing this until the wheels fall off or until people stop listening.
That won't happen.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
You never know. You know,
certain people will.
Who knows, dude? I could come in blackface one day. We could get canceled. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to leave that up in the air. But now we're hiring sales reps on top of it too. So like, yes, the marketing's great, but then you need the sales reps along with it. We just hired one for Texas, hiring one for Florida as well. And so you'll see those guys out and about here in the next few months. And with you, you've got the same sort of marketing. And that's what I wanted to tell you on the on air was your restaurants are so good and the food and drinks are so good that if you are selling your own product at your restaurants, everybody will associate it back to that great restaurant that they love to have brunch at. And that's how Jared and I found you, by the way.
Building community. I mean, that's what it is. It's
that's what it was, dude. Yeah. And there was just goblets of fucking mimosas. And then the food was great. And then we just kept going back and back and back. And it was awesome.
Much so like with the show, people come back and back and back. It's awesome. They see the product.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reflection of the show.
Hopefully.
It is. Come on.
No, but you hope so, right? Yeah. And that's why you make these things. And then same with yours.
Yep.
So with yours, you're looking to do a mimosa beverage in a can.
In a can. So we went out.
I took you to H-E-B last night.
H-E-B was amazing. Right. We just don't have this in North Carolina.
Told you.
But so, you know, like I said, you know, starting a business you think is easy. But, you know, you can't just put champagne in a can with orange juice. You got to find a way to get there.
Right.
And then you got to start taste testing and you got to compare to what your competitors are going to be. So we went out and grabbed a few.
And I told you last night, I said, look, I've had two of these at functions.
Yeah.
This is Mermaid Bubbly and this is a mimosa.
Well, it says it's a mimosa.
It says it's a mimosa. But, and I was like, hey, we'll try this
we'll
together.
We'll try this. Let's see if it's a mimosa.
And now looking at it here, because a lot of the same products are in here, it's very similar to a seltzer, in my opinion, as far as what's in it, because, you know, we do all the formulas and all that stuff on our own.
Yeah.
And so I know what this is. So, all right, it says...
We got water.
Orange juice concentrate.
Yeah.
So is that orange juice or is that fucking...
I'm not exactly sure.
Just a dash or whatever. You got tartaric acid. We order that. Citric acid. We order that. And then sulfites, and then carbonated water, and then cane sugar. So we've got most of these ingredients. This is very close to a seltzer. In my opinion, this does not taste like a fucking mimosa.
No, this is a seltzer.
Yeah. What do you think of this? Because it is 7%, and it's not terrible,
no,
by the way.
No.
So I don't want to shit on this company.
Not
it's
at
not
all.
Bad.
The packaging?
Yes.
Big fan of the packaging.
It's just not a mimosa. It's not a real true mimosa.
If it just said Mermaid Bubbly...
Right.
You know, I might be with you. I might be with you. It's 7% alcohol. You know, it tastes like...
This is a seltzer. I'm telling you, it tastes like
a seltzer. It's an orange flavored, you know.
Yeah.
Seltzer.
That's what it is. Because with yours, you're looking to do, what, a variety pack? Four different fruits?
Yeah.
So you got orange, you got pear.
We got pear. Then
I want to do. I love pear, by the way.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
We call it the perfect mimosa because it's just the flavor's incredible.
It is great.
We've got a peach.
We got a peach too. I love peach.
All right.
Big fan of peach. So nobody, that's the thing. I'll yank my own dick on.
Okay.
The only other peach flavored product I had before our seltzer was Snapple.
Okay.
So as a kid, I was
love
a
Snapple.
Huge, same here. I was a huge fan of the peach flavored Snapple and they used to sell like gangbusters, right? Yep. But nobody ever did a peach in like alcohol for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I was like, and I'm from Georgia and everything's peaches there originally. So I was like, cool, I grew up on it and I knew it could be a great flavor. And that's one of our flagships. And I don't think that'll ever go away. What else are you doing besides pear? What are the other two? Do you know?
Well, we'll do the classic orange, right?
Of course, you have
pear
to.
And peach.
Yep.
Now we're fighting for number four. Can I tell you what one of them is right now?
Sure.
What was the one you were told to do? And you didn't want to do?
Lemon lime.
We're thinking about a key lime pie. So we do a key lime pie mimosa that in the store kills it. But it's because we do the graham cracker crust on it.
Uh-huh.
We do the whipped cream topping and all that. If we could perfectly emulate that flavor in the can, it'll fucking kill it.
Okay. So the flavor house that I gave you last night.
Yeah.
As I gave you all the contacts, I think, for all the stuff.
Huge resource.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. But because we want to see everybody succeed. And a lot of people think, oh, well, they're doing an alcoholic beverage or whatever. They're all in different spaces, and you should want everybody to succeed and help each other. Like, there's plenty of money out in the world for everybody. There's no reason to be like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
I had a key lime pie there.
Okay.
Lights out. That's only problem is, like the strawberry shortcake, you've got to get women over the fact that they're not drinking a super sugary, high sugar, high carb drink.
Yep.
But it was unbelievable.
Oh man.
Yeah. So when you hit them up, tell them you want to do it and at least test it. Yeah. It's so good though, you're gonna want to do it.
Of course.
I just don't know how you market it without women thinking it's not carbs and sugars.
Yeah, that's where I'm gonna give you a call.
I gave you my answer, strawberry sugar. We get to pull it. And it was awesome. I loved it. But like women were like, oh, is this, I'm gonna get fat off this. And I was like, no, you're
too
good.
Late.
Like, yeah, yeah. Sorry, that kind of started for you probably in 11th grade. That's not, no, it's not putting it on the fucking product. This is zero carbs, zero sugars, dog. So, but that's where we're at. So here's what I'll, now here would be my advice on this. I've told a few other people who started RTDs. Pick 10 flavors. Go in and then decide out of that 10.
Yeah.
Because I was so locked into the strawberry shortcake when I tried it because it was so fucking good that I couldn't see around it.
Yep.
Like I just couldn't see the psychological aspect of it, of what a picture of a cake on a can
would do to sales.
Right.
Yeah.
Would do to people. So
and, God, isn't that a huge part of the business though? Is it being able to take your emotions out of it sometimes?
Yeah.
Like sometimes that's the hardest thing. It's just running a restaurant. We have entrees that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Like that I've been with. I've been doing this for 12 years that have been with me. And then you look at your numbers and they're not selling.
Nobody orders them.
Like, what is wrong with them? What is wrong? Not, and you don't want to pull it because you're emotionally invested into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to just, you know, running a business is sometimes just
pivoting,
listening to the numbers and pivoting.
Yeah.
Right. And putting pride aside. But always knowing that I might bring it back one day.
Yeah. So I'm telling you as a friend right now, keep key lime pie on the sideline, dude, for the first run. I learned with strawberry shortcake. I was like, fuck. Because to this day, I'll still stand by it. And the listeners who have had it, the first batch that went out there, whenever they come to the studio, they're like, dude, give me the strawberry shortcake. Yeah, I know you got some somewhere. I'll say this. Dan's got a secret stash somewhere in the studio. Nobody knows where it is. If you ask him, maybe he'll give you one. But I think there's only 10 left at this point, and then whatever's on the desk in front of me that I haven't swapped out yet, just out of laziness, I guess. But
sentimental purposes.
It is.
Right? That's the beginning. You always remember the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? No matter how big it gets, whenever your exit is,
100%.
You'll always tell the strawberry shortcake story.
Yeah. I remember getting the trademark back from the attorney.
Yeah.
It was a trademark. They said we would never get it.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, hard AFs for seltzer? Hard seltzer? It has to be. Somebody's done it or whatever. Somebody named a liquor, hard AF cherry or something like that. And they're like, you'll never get it. You got to wait for 8 months, which we did. We ended up getting it. And in the meantime, they're like, just come up with like 50 other names. Huh. Well, I did. And I think 47 of them got shot down. taken.
Hey, that's... failure again.
One that I love too that our artist we've got an in-house art team that came up with was this Florida Man seltzer.
Right.
And it had like an alligator and this crazy looking man.
Yeah.
And then different flavors and it was awesome and they were like, bro, that trademark was gone in 2017.
Like, that's
not
to the
original
party.
You fucking dumb idiot. And I was like, all right, I like it, you know. Like, is anybody using it? And here's the fucked up thing is a lot of people aren't even using this.
No.
So they'll be there, and then that's kind of it.
And that's their business, too. Some people just resell these things.
Yes, over and over and over. Yeah. And that was our first lawsuit was from another hard AF company that said, hey, we came up with this, and we have the trademark for it or whatever, but it was for some version of a tequila.
I gotcha.
And I go, hey, we're a sugarcane seltzer, we have no alcohol in it.
Yeah, well, no tequila.
You can't do anything. And I go, your product's not even out, which it wasn't.
Yeah.
And there's this thing called first use.
Yep.
So if you use it, then you got to file that trademark for first use and get that on the books. And so once we got that, they gave up on that lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
But that was the first of, you know, a few. As people coming out of the woodwork.
Isn't it fun having attorneys?
God. And they get $4.10 an hour. And I'm just like, man, I made the wrong choice in college. $4.10 an hour.
I made a lot of wrong choices in college. I don't think that was one of them.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Talk to the lawyers. $4.10 an hour. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ. But as this goes, so I'll break you into the numbers here. If you're looking to do it in a variety pack, and let's say you're making 5,000 cases roughly to start with.
Gotcha.
Well, shit, we'll go back to what this should be because it's champagne.
Yeah.
Because of the high ABV in a champagne.
Well, so that's going to be my challenge, right?
Right. It might only be available in a 4-pack, which a lot of people are doing it and they're crushing. So, like, that's not even a in my opinion, not a big bad problem to have.
Nope.
Because the margins are also great on that, and you can fucking destroy two, so you're good either way.
Yeah.
But putting champagne inside of a can with a real mimosa has never been done before, because these aren't. I haven't had this last one, but I can tell you, already reading the label, it says 5.5 ABV here. Yeah. There's no way this is fucking
this real one champagne. Is got white wine in it.
Oh, so that's not a fucking mimosa?
No.
I mean, I'll try it.
It's not a sparkling.
It's picnic a brunch.
Picnic brunch.
Oh, boy. You might get a... That might be one for the lawyers, too. Where they're like, it's too close. Brunch is too close to this. Brunch is a generic word, so you'll be good on that. How's this one?
That tastes like a wonderful orange-flavored white wine.
Man, that tastes awful. I wish I wouldn't have said the company name. Shit, I don't like that. These other ones...
Actually, the flavor of this one for
is that the blueberry one?
Yeah,
okay.
It's a nice flavor.
A blueberry, it's blueberry lemonade.
You know, this one just says bubbly though.
It does. It doesn't say mimosa.
Mimosa.
Yeah.
So you know this one has got a 7% ABV, and you know,
I don't like that other one though at all. That's white wine. You said
it tastes like my daughter saw my glass of wine on the table and poured some orange juice into it.
Oh God, yeah. Thankfully, you didn't stop with daughter.
And it was boxed white wine.
Oh, yeah, yes. So it's the old Franzia. Pop open the Franzia and pop that in. All right, let's try this one here. So this one you liked, the blueberry one?
I like the flavor of it. I do. I'm a blueberry fan.
It's good. It's it doesn't say mimosa on it.
No.
It's just a good drink.
It's
carbs and sugars.
It's a good seltzer. 181 calories, you know, a little high, but not
carbs.
Crazy.
Carbs, that's not bad.
No.
11 sugars, is that bad at all? All right, shit. This one I can fuck with for sure, but that's not a mimosa.
Not a mimosa.
No.
So that's going to be my challenge, is how do I, you know, because I want to stay true to what we're trying to do. How do I make a mimosa, right?
Yes.
So, you know, that'll be a challenge of working with, you know, scientists and engineers and bottling companies and people who do this every day trying to figure out, is it even possible?
It is. I haven't worked in that space yet, and I haven't worked with any co-packers. I know we were chatting about it yesterday, and I was trying to think about it because I don't know any tanks that are just champagne crossed with the whatever the juice you're going to add to it and all that stuff. With ours, you know, there's sugarcane tanks and all that stuff, and then there's malt tanks for beers and everything else. But I have not come across it yet.
Yeah.
But that's a good and a bad thing, right?
Exactly, right?
It hasn't been done to market.
Yeah.
But how do you find the tanks and who makes that?
Yeah.
Is the challenge.
The answer is usually one of the same.
Yeah, I know. Money solves everything. Fuck. I mean, it really does.
Someone's
going
to say, we can do it.
Oh, I know.
Well, we can do it.
We can sure do that. Yeah. You can have
your
own tank,
don't pay attention
to
those numbers over there. Yeah. Yeah, we can do it.
That's most of the battle, man. Most of these conversations that I'm in every single day, it's the same thing. As soon as I hang up and, you know, I'm usually outside the studio in the parking lot or in the driveway watching my wife and kids having fun, like having dinner and shit, and I'm still stuck on a phone call, is if I had money during this exact moment right here, like a shit ton of money, I would not have to take any of these calls right now. It would have just been like, how much?
Yeah.
Cool, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep.
So I'll send out the invoice tonight or Monday Night Football, whatever it is. Like, I'll talk to you tomorrow. And that ends everything.
Yeah, my office manager will write that. They'll wire that money real quick.
But nobody has that. I think the only person I've seen, two in the last, let's call it 3 to 4 years. Prime and Happy Dad. Nelk Boys. They've got, you know, both massive YouTube followings and all that other stuff. Both Prime is just an energy drink.
Yep.
They've also got hydration product. They got your crazy ton of SKUs and all that shit, right? Some have caffeine, some don't. Happy Dad has got is the Nelk Boys. That's a 5% seltzer, and they got a fucking million SKUs as well. But both of those guys came in with a shit ton of money into those companies, and I was like, God damn, dude, we don't have anywhere near that, bro. So you got to go slow. Whereas they went to all 50 states overnight, and it was just like Prime was in your face, like everywhere,
everywhere.
Even my kids, dude, 5-year-old. Dad, can I have some Prime? How the fuck do you know about that? YouTube, Dad.
My daughter told me about
it. I know. Prime. Same.
Then we bought it. She hated it.
Yes. Yeah.
Right, but the marketing worked.
Marketing worked. And I will say this. If you have that kind of money, you can fail on a public level.
Yeah.
Where the first initial flavors of Prime, in my opinion, were terrible.
Yeah.
And then we were out the other night. My kid wanted one after a basketball practice or whatever it was. And it was, I don't get them energy drinks. I don't get my kids energy drinks at all.
Yeah.
So I'll get them the hydration ones
because
it's like Gatorade.
Yeah,
but I'm not getting them hopped up more than they need.
Caffeine.
No, dude, that's fucked up.
I want to sleep a little bit.
Right. So I got him the hydration one. It was an American Bomb Pop flavor. Bob, if you can pull it up, it's like a red, white, and blue hydration one, and it was very good. And that's the other thing is like, I enjoy companies that realize they got it wrong the first time and then correct it as they keep going.
Yep.
And Happy Dead did that as well. I didn't like their initial flavors. Some of their newer ones are pretty decent. It's 5%, so it's a little light for me. But I enjoy it, and I'm able to say, all right, cool. I like you know X, Y, and Z. So this is the one I had, and it was very good. And I was like, oh, shit.
Great
all
packaging,
right.
too.
I know.
That takes me back to when I was 12, and I had the...
Same. And the even the name. The so Rocket. Like Prime, as far as a trademark goes, because the word is so famous, you can't trademark it. Yeah. So it's like... All right, cool, man. We're just using it. Yeah. And then you'll trademark what the image is.
Exactly.
And and nothing else. So luckily, I think you'll have the same with Mimosa. Mimosa's too public, so nobody will own that.
Yep.
And then you're going to have to add your own spin to it for as far as your restaurants go.
Of course.
And everything like that. Dream goal here, I would say $250 to start will do it.
Okay.
And that'll get your first...
Isn't that funny?
First cans out there.
You got all these listeners out there thinking like, I'd love to start a business, and we're just talking about it, and it's $250,000. That's it.
That's a lot of money. It's still a lot of money. I was a bouncer in college. I used to kick the shit out of people. I used to put people in a hospital for $80 a night, right? And like, I still look at $80 as a big deal to this day, right? And then you look at $250, it'll never not be a big deal to me.
I own a restaurant, and I walk around, and I'll see a quarter on the ground. And my servers, I watch my servers walk back and forth 3 or 4 times. And I walk over and pick it up, and they say, what are you doing? I said, that's a quarter.
It's still a quarter. It's still, at the end of the day.
I gave you an opportunity.
Yeah.
Because you need it more than I do.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to take that opportunity, it's going to my change jar.
There's somebody who works for our media company. I'm not going to say who it is. But one employee hadn't gotten paid, and I hadn't gotten paid, and the guy had said, well, do you need this right now? And I was like, yes, motherfucker. Everybody needs to get paid when they're supposed to. Like, we got real lives, jobs, everybody. Like, don't you can't do that to him. Like, of course. Fuck you, man. I'll pay him out of my thing. Like, this is, are you crazy? But there is people out there where I sit on these calls, and they're like, oh, man, $5 million is nothing. And I was like, what world do you live in, dude? Like, is it? Because I'm here, and it's. I think it's not a flat earth. Like, what world are you in right now where that's not a big deal?
Of course.
And I've been in those conversations too where you're just like, shit, man. But $250 will probably get you the first $250,000 cans and then out the door and all that other stuff. You'll probably save some money on packaging because you won't need the cardboard boxes. Like, let's take First Form here.
Yeah.
You won't need these because you're selling them probably in your restaurants.
Yep.
And then you'll have probably split to go into the liquor stores and
of course.
Bars, restaurants, grocery stores, all that other stuff. So. That'll save you some savings. But I think out there, one of the biggest things I've learned when I've talked to other people who are starting drink companies is just do that run. Everybody wants to do a million or like 2 million cans. It's going to be awesome. Like, no, dude, start with the minimum.
Yep.
If people don't like it, like whatever this, I'm not going to say the brand, but I did not like this drink.
Yeah.
If I would have tasted this and I went back to whoever invented it and said, don't make any more of this, you're going to lose your money.
We're not going to sell
whatever the fuck this is.
You might sell it once.
Once, but once. Don't. Waste your money on that. That's what I recommend to people so that way you can get it out the door. And it was the same way with us. We went D2C, direct to customers through the mail. The shitty part about it is shipping.
Yeah.
It was, fuck, man, it was coming at like $89 a case to ship to a listener because the shipping is so heavy off of it. And like the margins are dog shit. You're making like $5 or whatever the fuck it is, right? But you want to get it out to as many people as possible, not only for a test, to see if everybody likes it, to whether you're not, I'm going to write another check. Put some more money into this.
Minor details.
Yeah, but you want everybody's feedback and all that other stuff. And I think that was very helpful. But I will say this, Dan and I were fully prepared to fold it up if people didn't like it.
Yeah, you've got to be.
You have to be. Because if you start forcing it, you're going to lose.
You lose a lot.
You're going to lose your fucking house.
Yeah.
And then that first run, I think I had two separate liens on my house during that first run, and shit got real fucking stressful. And I was just like, all right, I just had another mortgage, the mortgage I'm on, whatever. Like, it's going to do okay, right? I'm going to pay myself back for this.
Yeah, that's right. It's faith and belief, right?
It is, but it doesn't make every day, more or less stressful where you're like, shit, dude, what the fuck?
And then you get the cans and they're misprinted.
Yes. Did you get this?
It's deflating.
You want to talk about going ballistic on somebody? I mean, I told this motherfucker that he should go back to Ellis Island and scratch his whole family lineage off the Statue of Liberty. Because I was like, bro, if I go on air with your fucking bullshit today, like, fuck you and your whole goddamn family. Like, I want your kids to grow up and be pissed off at you, you know? Like, I want you to be in hospice, right? You got 4 days left, and I want your last, like, your kid to come in. Last words to you ever is like, Dad, why did you fucking misprint those cans for that dude? He fucking, our whole family's fucked. I mean, Jared wanted to put up a billboard above his, he owns a business. He wanted to put, and it was open. We called, we got the number, we had it locked in for 12 months, and we were going to put fuck this company above it, and cleverly and everything else. We told him, we were like, hey, we're renting out the billboard, everything. Like,
Here we go. You're fucking with my family now.
They eventually dropped and gave the money back. But man, the amount of times that's happened along the way.
But that's every business, right?
It is.
That's every business. I could tell you a dozen war stories about brunches, the restaurant, and through COVID, I didn't know if I was going to make payroll.
I know.
Right?
I didn't know if I was going to make payroll. All these companies, man. Yeah. Production, because I know a production company before this. Yeah. I know a production company before this, and yeah, man, same thing, payroll, everything else, paying everybody else out. Yep. Got sued for workers' comp on some other gigs and all that other shits. Yeah. All those movies that I did over the years, every one of them got sued.
Yeah.
And some of it was frivolous, where it was just like, oh, hey, I had this idea, and I'm from Indiana. Yeah. No lie. Yeah. For a movie, and you're like, you sued for that? They're like, yeah, I sent it in. This one guy was like, I sent it in to Paramount Studios in the mail, and I was like, cool, man. I'm not even with Paramount. Like, it's a fucking independent movie. I wasn't working at Paramount. I did a movie for Paramount. It's like, doesn't mean that I got your script. I knew anything about you.
That's right.
Millions of scripts are written a year. I was like, you fucking cocksucker. $23,000 just to fight with a lawyer. And, the guy got nothing. Like,
That's crazy.
Awful.
Yeah.
But you got to be prepared for that.
You do.
The highs of the highs, like last night, where it's just an accidental thing. You walk into a grocery store and you're like, holy shit, let me grab a photo of this.
Yeah. It's real.
Lows are real dark, though.
Very dark.
Jesus Christ, dude. Lows in owning a business or when it's your own, because it's all your family and your houses and all that other shit.
Well, and that's why the second part of what I'm going to do, thanks to your help and your team's help, is we're going to document this whole process, right? Because we all want to know, Ross, how did you and the guys, get to this 10 million followers?
Here's the thing. This is why shows like this are helpful, where you're getting real shit.
Real.
All those bullshit entrepreneur Instagrams or podcasts. Like,
be you, be happy, smile. Yeah,
grab the day by the bootstraps. And it's like, fuck. No, you're going to feel like killing yourself every night. Like, that's real. And then,
you're up at 5 a.m. Do you want to be up at 5 a.m.?
No.
I don't.
I'm up till 5.
Yeah.
Then I take the kids to school or whatever. It's 7:15. So I'm like, yeah.
So we're going to document the process from how the hell do I get 250K? How the hell do I find a packaging company? How the hell do we put mimosa in a can?
Right.
So we're gonna set it up so we can document that, because we don't, failures, to me, failure is not an option.
For sure.
But it's possible.
Are you guys going to do a podcast?
I think we might.
Yeah.
It'd be a great platform to do it. Just to show people, okay, here's the shit we're having to go through.
And just honest, real life shit.
Yeah.
Where it isn't great.
And show the real
day.
Numbers.
Yeah.
And show, hey, here we are at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are again at 5:15 in the morning.
Yeah. Like,
that was an awesome 90 minutes. We got to sleep.
Right. It was awesome. Right. Yeah. It was last night for me. And I'm just like, I looked at my wife. I'm like, fuck, dude.
Here we go again.
I know. But there is fun stuff along the way.
Tons of
I don't want to.
You celebrate them.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
Totally celebrate.
Throwing out the first pitch for the Miami Marlins.
Wow.
Against the Yankees and being able to take my family and kids and all that stuff was awesome. Like, that's a once in a lifetime type of deal. We're working on some college deals right now where if they go through, one of them is my own. It is Ohio State. Like, if that goes through.
It's like childhood dreams, right?
Yes. And like that would be something where I'm like, all right, great. I don't know how much bigger I can dream on something like this. But then the rest of it, we're still in the middle of finance meetings, investor meetings, all that stuff. And it's super fucking hard.
Yeah.
And I talk to these people and some of them are so goddamn weird. And some of them are like, oh, I got this cousin who's super rich. What did they do?
Yeah.
Oh, you know that button at the top of a Ziploc bag? That's what they did. The blue plastic one. You're like, what the fuck?
Come on.
Yeah, that was your patent? I was like, oh, yeah, super rich. You didn't do anything. You're like, all right. And then you have this conversation with this fucking moron. You're like, okay, great.
Yep.
This isn't going anywhere.
No.
Yeah. My first movie to get that finance on the 144th meeting, I'll never forget. It was there was no iPhones or, you know, maps or anything at that point. So you had to do it on off of a Thomas guide. And I didn't know where I was going. It's an address in the valley. And I go and I show up and it's this dog shit hole in the wall diner that's only open to like 1:30 in the afternoon. And this guy had asked me to meet him there. There's 5-6 tables in their tops. Food's awful. Coffee's awful. Everything. He rolls in flip flops, a ripped t-shirt and like some fucking board shorts. Right. And looked like a Spalding from Caddyshack or whatever. Right. And, sits down and he's like, hey, man, read the script, love the script, you know, I think we can get this made pretty quickly, you know? And I was like, uh-huh. And he goes, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write down 10 actresses' names on a cocktail, on this, you know, cocktail napkin. And he goes, slides across the table. He goes, you get one of these names, you'll be shooting this movie in 6 weeks. That's it. All you got to do.
All you got to do.
All you got to do, brother. And I was like, all right. Grabbed the napkin and turned around. I was like, oh, well, shit. One of them happens to be one of my good friends. And it's right. Like, I go, okay, I can get so-and-so. And they were like, great, man. So just get a contract, a letter of intent, and everything else. We'll be shooting in 6 weeks, you know? And I was like, okay, cool. I watched this guy eat this shitty meal. I drank this shitty coffee. Fucking, again, paint job in the bathroom afterwards. Like, it was the worst coffee. And I'm like, I call my manager on the drive back, and I was like, fuck you. Fuck this meeting. Fuck this guy. Everything else. And he goes, I'm telling you, man, I think he's real, you know? And I'm like, all right. So I get this actress to sign the letter of intent. Yeah. And I sent it back to him. The one thing he did, well, he stopped me in the parking lot before he left, he gives me a dollar. And it was like a fucking little kid move or whatever. And he goes, I want you to give me back this dollar our first day on set and tell me that I was right about making your movie. You know, and he talked like that. And I was like, fuck. All right, man.
Sounds like Malibu.
Yeah. I get my friend to sign the letter of intent or whatever, send it back to him. To the day, 6 weeks later, we were shooting this movie. It was fully financed and everything. This dipshit guy in this stupid fucking meeting at this stupid goddamn restaurant.
It's where you never think it's going to come from.
Ever.
It's where you never think it's going to come
ever.
From.
Ever. And I show up, you know, first day on set, and he goes, hey, man. Isn't this awesome? Whatever. And I was like, yeah.
You wanted this dollar back.
I go, actually, this is awesome. And he goes, I'm going to give you the dollar back, man. And he goes, I told you. And I was like, fuck, dude. I framed the dollar and everything else. And it was amazing.
Yep.
And then funding came a lot easier after that. But problem was, when DVDs dried up and all that stuff, all those people that I used to know, I don't know anymore. And they're not investing in movies. They're not, you know, they're gone from Hollywood and all that stuff. So now I'm going after normal people, and it's tough.
It's always tough.
It's tough.
But if it wasn't tough, everyone would do it.
Yes. Right? But
everyone
would
do it. But it's tough. You know?
Wasn't your background at Bank of America?
Yeah, I did finance there.
How was that? Did you make the decisions or somebody else for like business loans and shit like that?
So no one at Bank of America makes the decision. I could tell you a handful of stories where we actually made the decision not to finance something because I was in Charlotte at the time. Where the bank's headquartered, and we dealt with the ultra affluent clients. Our whole underwriting team would look at a deal. They said, you know, we're going to pass on this. And we knew who these people were and how they were connected. And we would then have to tell our clients, you know, unfortunately, we can't do this deal. And we would set our watches for 45 minutes.
Okay.
This happened at least a dozen times. And within 45 minutes, we'd get a call from the CEO's office calling down saying, what the hell are you doing? Do the loan.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just do the fucking loan.
Loan.
Yeah. Just do it, man.
And that's how big banks work, right? You know, everyone wants to, and that's why it's so hard for new ventures to get funding from banks, because that same, you know, lineage of Bank of America were the ones who actually made the loan to Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
If Walt Disney today went to Bank of America and presented the same exact idea
as a new company, a startup,
and it was a new company,
yeah.
He'd be laughed out of the room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, completely laughed out of the room.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just different now. You know, the big banks, most banks, they're only going to make loans if they don't really need to make the loan.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you need to get it, you just can't. So, you know, most of the time it is for new ventures having to go to individuals.
Yeah.
Right?
Friends and family rounds and things like that.
Friends and family. And then, you know, and then you find, you know, as you start to build, the first one's the hardest. Mm-hmm. But then as you can show something, right? Because the projections are always fun. But when you can say, hey, I did these projections for the first brunches, but now here's what we actually did. Then you start gaining the credibility.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to a couple of movies I appreciated. The Wolf of Wall Street. And what's the other one?
Excellent film, by the way.
Right? But they always talk, these stockbrokers always talk about the same thing. On the first sale, sell them IBM.
Right.
Just sell them something that's going to show them like a 2% return.
And that they know. Something famous.
Easy, yeah. Right? And then on the riskier one, hit them the second time. So, you know, that's what we did with brunches was, you know, we didn't go to one person to make a huge investment. We went to a few different people. Mm-hmm. They made small investments. We gave them a great return. I mean, I'm talking 20%+ return.
Sure.
Right. So we're not, you know, they're taking risk, but they're getting a great reward. And after they collect those 20% returns, then they say, hey, where can I get more of that? Right. It's like being a drug dealer.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I know.
But Boiler Room. I watched Boiler Room once every couple months.
Boiler Room and Wolf of Wall Street are excellent in those because it's sales.
It's
at the end of the
sales.
Day, you're trying to convince somebody into something they don't know,
yep.
They've never heard of, and everything else. Now, granted, they were doing it super illegal, but...
well, you know. Who am I to judge?
I know. God, there's two great speeches in those. Affleck's speech in Boiler Room is fantastic.
Act as if.
Yeah. Yep. And then DiCaprio's I'm Not Fucking Leaving.
Yeah.
I'm Not Fucking Leaving. It's also awesome.
But we've all had that moment.
Oh, yeah.
We've had that I've had that moment where, you know what? Maybe the restaurants aren't for me.
Right. Yeah.
Like, maybe this isn't for me.
Dude.
Right? Maybe scrubbing dishes as the owner of 6 restaurants isn't what I should be doing.
I felt that way just about everything I did. Movies, you felt the same way where you're like, holy shit, can I make another one of these books? Holy shit, can I make another one of these podcasts? Can we create a new podcast for the network that'll do well?
Yeah.
Because you don't know.
You just don't know. And that's what the crowd doesn't see. And that's, you know, people call me all the time about, hey, would you ever give me advice for how to run a restaurant? I'll give anybody advice. Even the guy who wants to open up next door to me.
Right.
If you can bring more people into your restaurant, it's going to be better for my restaurant.
Yeah, chances are people will know what your brand is.
I'll share that with everyone. But the first thing I share with everyone about owning a restaurant is you don't want to own a restaurant.
Right.
You think you want to own a restaurant, right? But you don't want – and people ask me about, you know, starting businesses the same way. Like you said, start off. Like, I think everyone should.
Yes.
But 95% of y'all are going to fail.
Yes.
But I think you need that experience to then appreciate – you know, I kind of like to say Scottie Pippen,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, Scottie Pippen had it. He was – the guy with the Bulls.
Right.
Right? And then he went to Houston.
Yeah.
You know? But man,
he's a little older.
Scottie Pippen was the guy. And I don't know that Michael wins without him.
Right.
But Scottie Pippen was the man. And I kind of feel like that way with some people who had the corporate jobs. Right? There are a lot of people who wake up and that, you know, you talk about Joe Rogan, the life of secret, what's the Henry David Thoreau quote? That's going to bother the heck out of me. Desperation. Right. Where most guys, they just can't wait to go take a shit during lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's some people out there listening now and that's the life they're living.
Yeah.
And I encourage them, like, you need to find a way to go after a passion project. Now, don't quit your job, but, you know, you're only working 8 or 9 hours a day. If you want to own a business, commit to the fact that, you know, you're going to work at least 12 hours a day. So start working 4 after your full time.
Exactly.
Job, right. Yeah. A life of quiet desperation. That's what Joe Rogan says. Right.
Yeah.
And I just think there's so many people out there who that's what they need to do. Because they're going to do one or two things. They're going to succeed with their passion project and love it, or they're going to realize how fucking hard it is, and they're going to really appreciate going to work for somebody else.
Correct.
And being able to leave work and leave work.
Right.
I never leave work. And it impacts the family. It impacts everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I never leave work.
Wife wasn't stoked with me last night.
No. I joked with you, right? Until my shoes come off, right? But even then.
I know. Even then, it's still dicey where you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
She was like, hey, is everything all right? I was like, no, everything's not all right. I was like,
and you quickly forget about the first pitch with the Marlins.
Oh, yeah, that's out the window. It's out the window.
Like, that would be a dream of mine.
Yeah. Right? Oh, dude. And you know what else I do?
And then
I
you
do?
Achieve it, and it's like, okay, what's next?
You know what else I do, too, which is like, I'm one of those people at a concert or whatever the fuck is, you know, the public event or a stadium or whatever. I'll take like a 10 or 15 second video of where I'm at.
Yeah.
I did it. My wife and I were at, it was our anniversary. We went to Adele.
Okay. Yeah.
A ton of crazy shit going on, all of this shit. And I took this like 15 second video. But I'll go back if I'm feeling super dark and I'll go back to the phone late at night and just kind of scroll through all those 10 second videos and be like, all right, I got to do this, this, and this, and this, and I should appreciate it, and blah, blah, blah. And that helps me, where I'm like, there was some great moments along the way, and I might be pissed off today, but, you know.
This is reminding me of a song.
Which one?
There's this song this guy sings about, you know, being in this dark times and then having to reconnect with himself.
Sure. Is it Creed?
Oh, God. This guy named Scott, I think, wrote it. Something about all the sacrifices he
another
has to make.
Another thing last night.
Something.
Because you were going to get an Uber, and I was like, hey, you'll have a better shot down by the office. Let me take you there. I crank up the car. Wasn't planned. I had no idea. No, it was not. Higher was playing by Creed on my fucking thing. And I'm like, yo, dude. Yeah. This life is real. I'm about that Creed life, bro.
Hey, and here you are talking about the dark times.
Yeah.
And having to reconnect.
Scott Stapp. He's back. I'm going to see him on 9/11 in Dallas.
That's impressive.
Come and join us in Dallas.
Hey, $1,500 front row. That's not too bad.
I'm not doing that.
I took the kids to see Beyonce. $1,500 did not get you near the front row.
No, it sure didn't. Taylor Swift? Shit, dude. That was...
Let me tell you a story about that.
Yeah. Did you go?
I had tickets for my daughters.
In Atlanta?
No. Before even the first show. It was in Tampa Bay. 3 months before the first show, and they had announced it all, front row seats, I think I was able to get them for $1,200.
Okay.
The kid said, nah, we don't really want to go.
Oh, man.
And you know, I appreciate all genres. And I was, you know, I would see Beyonce and her story, love it, right? And,
sure.
And Britney, like anyone who succeeds, I always want to go and see and experience that.
Same.
And so by the time the concert came and I got rid of those tickets, I think those same tickets were selling for $8,000 to $10,000.
Easily.
And then the tour took off, obviously, and then Atlanta, you know, it was crazy. But I booked them like you knew it was going to be busy and all that,
right?
But I booked them really early, and the kids for the spring break were like, "Nah, I don't think we want to go." And I was like, "Well, okay, you know, I'll get rid of the tickets."
Yeah,
and you know, could have quadrupled my money, but didn't get to go. And now, of course, every show is. I looked at Miami. I think is coming up sometime this year.
Yeah,
I mean, $1,500 won't get you in the stadium.
No, dude, it's nuts. It's nuts. And on the flip side of that, because we own the ticketing company, DrinkRoseTickets.com, it's I'll see people buy in advance for like the national championship, and then their teams don't go, and then they got to try to unload these tickets, and I'm like, don't do it, do it. Just make sure your team wins first, you know? Like, don't buy in advance. Do you know how many fucking Cowboys fans bought Super Bowl tickets this year? And I was like, dude, what? They never go. Like, they're 26 years. They're not going this year either,
dude. Smith is not coming back.
Fuck. Gotta get rid of these tickets, man. Fuck. And I'm like, just buy them. They'll be the same price then. I can promise you that. Fucking morons. But you learn and you know, hopefully, shit, you're able to share these stories that help other people out along the way.
Right. Well, that's what it's about.
But for us, so let's see, to recap here, Hardy AF Seltzer, 1,300.
Next six months of Hardy AF.
We're in 1,300 stores right now. We're in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Ohio, Wilmington, at all your brunches and all that stuff, Outer Banks, and then Texas just opened up recently. Next 6 months, I think I would like to do close up the Southeast with South Carolina, try to grab Kentucky, and then concentrate on sales reps in those areas, building it up, and then a massive investor.
Yeah.
I would also like to close some of these college deals. Because
I've seen some of those designs. Wow.
I know.
Your team.
I know.
Impressive.
I know. And we're very, very close.
Yeah.
And I think because it is an 8% and college campuses in particular have gone nuts for the product, focusing on these colleges and then going out within. If you get somebody in college, you'll have a lifetime customer.
Yeah.
Just because, and I'm the same way, like whatever I had in college, like I'm still nostalgic for it.
Yep.
So I'll go back to it. And I think that's a very smart game plan. And I think for the next 6 months, concentrating on that strategy, hopefully a massive, gigantic investor comes in and then I can start to open up more. Yeah. But in the meantime, I can't run out in the states that I'm currently in or I'll get essentially blacklisted from the distributors.
Yep.
So that's important. On our side, we were printing. So these right now that are currently in stores are sleeves on cans.
Okay.
We have just printed on cans, and we just ordered a million cans. So that'll get us an extra $5 profit per case.
And when did those come out?
That is a big, big deal. So those will be finished being made in the middle of March, and those should be in stores like April or May. And that'll help a lot.
Yeah.
I would also love to do tall boys this year. 19.2. So 19.2 ounces. There's a weird stat in the state of Texas where 45% of alcohol sales, as far as beer and wines go, are tall boys in C stores, which are convenience stores.
Yep.
And I didn't know that.
That's crazy.
I was like, Jesus Christ, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's a big state. Like I was telling you, it's like 24 hours to get to end to end in this goddamn thing. So like, I don't want to say people are boozing and driving, but they probably are. And like, you know,
well,
truckers,
guy after work, right? Guy after work.
Truck drivers too, where you're just like, hey, dude, this is a fucking flat desert drive. Well, you know, whatever it is,
whatever it
across
is.
Whatever state you're in. You're like, oh, I'll take a tall boy. Like, you know, I think everybody's dad had a tall boy on the way home. So
God, did mine ever.
Can't blame them, you know? You're like, all right, sweet. Whatever, right?
One's okay.
One's fine.
Yeah.
Past that, you're gonna get in some trouble.
That's right.
So that's the current strategy. And then, these college meetings have been endless. So I think once the first one drops, the rest of them will drop. And that'll also help investment-wise and getting started on some of these colleges and then introducing some new flavors to them. Because those will be unique to the college and all that other stuff. So that'll be fun. New favorite flavor is green apple. Love
Can't
to put that in a tall boy as well, or potentially put in a variety pack. I got to figure out which flavor to swap out for that. Just because I love it and I'm interested in it too.
Yeah.
And everybody else, it tested pretty well. And then long-term goals are a tea.
Yeah.
I just tasted the sweet tea and then a tea with lemonade. And it was fucking lights out. So hard AF tea would be great.
Wow, that peach sweet tea.
No. If I can get back to that Snapple, dog, let's go. It's a little trivia question underneath the cap. Oh, hey. Who was the first president to be athanated? You know, you're like, oh, that's a fun one. Yeah. That would be the long term.
That'd be long term.
So that's kind of where we're at now. I will say this, you know, because we, like I said, we'll keep you up to date, you know, once, twice a year. I'm not going to fucking bore you if you're not interested in it. But we're in way more stores than I thought we would be right now.
Yeah.
We're in a lot more grocery stores and all that stuff. The expansion's been pretty fucking nuts. And I'm amped about it, but that also brings a separate set of challenges, and you definitely need funding immediately. And like, it has gone down to like hours.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying I made a run in the middle of the night to a state to pick up 100,000 in cash or anything like that. A gym bag one time, but
one
whatever.
Time, yeah.
Not going to say that I had a lien in my house once or twice and had to use that cash for said lien, but but it happens.
It happens.
Sometimes the success that you hope for, once you get there, you're like, oh shit, I don't have enough money to pay for this.
For the next step. That's Elon Musk, right?
I mean,
they were down there.
Yes.
It's
and
everyone.
Like, he had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll die of a heart attack in a couple years. Right. Like, but luckily, life insurance is all in, and you know, we're good.
The family's taken care of.
We're good for now.
We're slightly more dead than alive, but you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, shit, sales have been very, very strong, and the process and seeing that and being able to drink with people has been amazing. Like I said, the cool shit has been awesome with the stadiums and the tailgates and the live shows and all that stuff. That's amazing. Seen it at my grocery store that is right next to my house.
What a flex.
Fucking awesome on accident. Still an accident, by the way.
But doesn't matter.
I know.
It doesn't matter.
But
it's
was rad
flex.
And
yes.
I didn't know. And,
it's amazing.
But that is awesome. And so that's, I think those highs is what also keeps you going too, where you're just like, all right, bad shit's going to be there and it'll probably never go away, but as long as I can keep going for this, like, great. But in the meantime, I wanted to have you on and kind of go back and forth with a business owner that I personally respected.
Yeah.
And anybody who's been in the Wilmington area and has been to a Brunches knows it really is the best restaurant there.
We appreciate that.
It's a beach town, dude. I mean, you got it smashed. Yeah. But your restaurant can literally go everywhere, including Austin, Texas, which I hope it comes
selfishly
because we don't have one of those here. And it would be great. So thank you for doing this today.
Of course.
I know you're busy. You got a flight
and
all that stuff. And I appreciate you coming in the studio today.
That was awesome. And thanks for having the best seltzer I've ever had.
I appreciate
Hard
it.
AF.
Thanks for carrying it. Hard AF Seltzer. Go to hardafseltzer.com. Hit that store locator.
Cheers.
Yeah. City or zip code will take you to the closest store nearest you. It is in all the Brunches in Wilmington, North Carolina there. Our buddy at Whiskey Creek and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
We usually do a Drinking Bro of the Week at the end of this. I'm going to give it to a mutual friend of ours, Nick.
Yeah.
Nick Levesque is going through some hard times out there, and we love him. I know you work with Nick.
Praying for him, thinking about him.
He's one of my best friends in this world, and we love you, buddy, if you're out there listening. And again, thank you for being here. I'll let you get to the fucking airport, all right?
All right, man. This is awesome. Cool. Thanks
go to brunches if you're in Wilmington, North Carolina. Where else are you guys located now?
Richmond, Virginia, and to be soon, Raleigh and Austin.
Oh, perfect. Dude, we have a ton of listeners in Richmond.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, if you're in Richmond, Virginia, go to that brunches there. You know the address?
It's right off of Lauderdale. Don't know the exact number right off, but
look
right
at
off
you,
of Lauderdale.
Dude. So many that's fucking right. Restaurants, you don't even know your addresses. You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
That's right.
It's like for me, I read these all the time, so I can tell you, you know, go to the Shell station on 1405 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Grab a 12-pack of Hard AM Seltzer. I know the address.
Most of my customers are able to use their cell phones, and they can find the address
well. Not mine. If I don't say it 50 fucking times, nobody knows. Nobody knows. But we're unbelievably grateful. Again, thank you for stopping by. Thank you guys out there for all your support during this endeavor. It is very difficult, but it is very fun. Obviously, we get super fucked up. The record is still 13. Somebody came in and drank 13 one night. A guy thought he broke it. He didn't. He blacked on an 11, and his wife dragged him out of here. He came back like 2 months later. He's like, I tied the record. And I go, you were nowhere near.
Nowhere near.
Your wife walked you out of here like a fucking child and made you sleep in the car. So it's awesome. Go to iTunes, rate the show 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star, and you can walk away. We appreciate you tuning in to our little business lesson on HardAFSeltzer.com. Good night, everyone.